Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's worship service. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my great privilege to serve as minister of this faithful congregation. Whoever you are, however you are, whoever you love, you are welcome with us. If you feel happy and joyful during these last beautiful fall days, or if you feel dismayed at the early darkness, you are welcome here. If you are feeling absolutely serene through this election season, or if you feel worried and frozen, or if you've just started reading Fly Memes, you are welcome here. If you are visiting with us and would like more information on how to engage more fully in our community, please write our administrator to get on our email list and get the links to our coffee hour. Her name is on our screen or on our webpage. And everyone else, please read the announcements in your order of service that came with your email this morning. That's how you can learn all the ways you can be connected to this community. That email also has a link to our coffee hour, which starts at 11:30. In the whole group, we listen to each other's joys and sorrows, something I know many of us miss from congregational life. And we talk briefly about the service, and then we break into small groups. And it's a good way to see old friends and meet new people. So I look forward to seeing all of you there today. Our chalice lighting is from the Reverend Lisa Doge. Why a flaming chalice? The question comes. It's the cup of life, we answer. A cup of blessings overflowing, a cup of water to quench our spirit's thirst, a cup of wine for celebration and dedication, the flame of truth, the fire of purification, oil for anointing, healing. Out of chaos and fear and horror, thus was the symbol of the chalice crafted a generation ago during World War II. And so it may it be for us in these days of uncertainty and sorrow and rage, a light to warm our souls and bring us home. Please join in our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. And let us open our hearts to love one another. Dear Spirit of love and life, let us remember to feel the coolness of the autumn wind against our cheeks. And breathe deeply of the air that sustains our lives and the lives of all living things. Let us be grateful for air clean enough to breathe deeply. Let us remember to feel the warmth of the sun on our faces and relish the energy that sustains our lives and the lives of all living things. Let us be grateful for the sun. Let us remember to feel how the earth holds us close and catches us, and acknowledge how the earth sustains our lives and the lives of all living things. Let us be grateful for the earth. Let us never forget the nearness of the air and the sun and the earth. Let their closeness soothe any pain and any heaviness of heart. I want you to take a moment and say aloud the names of anyone you are holding particularly close today.
Today's reading is by Henri J.M. Nouwen, a Dutch Catholic priest, professor, writer, and theologian. To listen is very hard because it asks of us so much interior stability that we no longer need to prove ourselves by speeches, arguments, statements, or declarations. True listeners no longer have an inner need to make their presence known. They are free to receive, to welcome, to accept. Listening is much more than allowing another to talk while waiting for a chance to respond. Listening is paying full attention to others and welcoming them into our very beings. The beauty of listening is that those who are listened to start feeling accepted, start taking their words more seriously and discovering their true selves. Listening is a form of spiritual hospitality by which you invite strangers to become friends, to get to know their inner selves more fully, and even to dare to be silent with you.
Our theme this month is deep listening. As you have probably gathered over the years, I believe in listening. When you listen to yourself, to each other, to nature, it can be transformational. I have witnessed this. I have experienced this. Listening is a Unitarian Universalist spiritual practice. Our faith is relational. We believe in community. We believe in the power of love. Love is what happens in that space between us. It is an alchemy of respect, of understanding, of compassion. Listening is one of the essential tools that we use to enter the space between us. Being heard is so close to being loved, says religious writer David Augsburger, that for the average person, it is indistinguishable. Truly listening is tender and compassionate and kind. It is also very hard. Studies have shown that when people listen, they remember 50% or less of the content within 30 seconds, and less than 75% the next day. And I have to say, as someone who speaks a lot as part of what I do, this was daunting information. And it turns out that our ability to listen gets worse when we multitask, or we even think we might be going to get a text or our phone's going to ring. What might be even more disheartening to know is that those wiggly first graders, researchers have found, listen better than most adults. Most first graders can tell you in a few moments with a 90% accuracy what their teacher just said. This just plummets as children grow older. And I suspect it's not so great on Zoom either. However, those research studies, they only measure listening for content. Science isn't able to measure the kind of listening that transforms us. It can't measure the something that shifts inside us when someone really hears the substance of our heart or soul. It doesn't measure the way that we are transformed when we hear the substance of someone else's heart and soul. This kind of listening is much more challenging than listening for content. As the Quaker teacher Parker Palmer says, the soul is like a wild animal, tough, resilient, savvy, self-sufficient, yet exceedingly shy. If we want to see a wild animal, the last thing we should do is go crashing through the woods, shouting for the creature to come out. This deeper listening requires stillness. It requires paying close attention. To do it, we have to get out of our own heads. We have to stop spinning our own stories. We have to stop evaluating and analyzing. We have to stop planning that really smart thing that we're going to say next. Instead, we have to set ourselves completely aside. To listen well, we must immerse ourselves in the other's experience and their understanding of their own experience. This kind of listening is not passive. It is active. It is something we do with our bodies and minds and hearts. What is the person saying? How do they feel about it? Where is the joy and pain and fear? What values does their story express? What did they think they learned? Listening is an act of curiosity and a true desire to know someone. It is to offer spiritual hospitality, as no one says. When we listen well, we set aside our story about their story for a time. We believe them. Did you know that one of the major complaints that black people and people of color have about their white friends? It's that white friends don't listen to them. And when they do listen, they don't believe them. They put the person of color's experience through the lens of white experience. So a black friend complains that they were followed in the department store once again and how irritating it is. And the white friend, putting their own experience first, says, "Couldn't you have been imagining that?" Experience erased. Racism erased. It's human for our minds to always be thinking, making connections, and filling in stories with meaning. It is also part of white culture to always need to be right and to correctly analyze the situation, to always be the one who knows, even if this means overriding another person's experience. For lots of reasons, deep listening can be hard. So how do we do it? How do we pay close enough attention? Buddhist meditators, says the Reverend Christine Robinson, who face the same problem, speak of treating the mind like a beloved but sometimes inappropriate child who wants to show off to the guests. "Not now, sweetie," says the kind parent. "You go and play and we'll join you in a bit." Similarly, when we are listening and noticing that we are commenting to ourselves about what is being said, we can tell our minds, "This is not the time for analysis. I just need to hear this story." Deep listening is a spiritual practice. It connects us to something larger. It connects us to the relational space between us. It's one way we strengthen the social webs. I told someone I was working on a sermon about listening to other people, and they rolled their eyes and said, "I hope you don't mean Trump supporters." I hate that the world is like this, so deeply polarized that it seems truly impossible to listen to people with different political views. In the weeks before the 2016 election, I did preach that we needed to listen to people with political views different than our own as a way to find and build common ground. We needed this to create our common loving society, I argued. This seemed like the right thing to say as polarization was ratcheting up across the country. And now polarization is even more extreme. Americans live in different fact universes. We don't agree on what is true and what is not true. We disagree on whether racism exists. We disagree on the reasons people come to the U.S. undocumented. Are they desperate refugees or criminals? We disagree on whether masks make you safe and whether 213,000 people have died from COVID-19. We disagree on whether the economy is going well or going badly. We disagree on whether mail-in ballots increase fraud or not. It does seem like listening to each other is a rather pointless exercise when we can't even agree on the facts. How can one possibly find any common ground? We can spew data at a person with an opposite view, and they can spew their data, and typically nothing happens except complete frustration on both sides. The research is clear on this. When we are entrenched in a particular way of seeing the world, facts and reason rarely shift our thinking. This is true across the political spectrum. That means it's probably true for you too. And I suspect it's true across all kinds of divides, religious, racial, gender, and sexual orientation. Our experiences, our values, our worldview, and social groups shape what we see as true and false, and how we interpret what happens. This is why many white people don't even notice that they contradict their black friends' lived experience. Nothing in the white friend's experience or worldview or normal social group helps them understand the daily experiences of racism in black, indigenous, and people of color's lives. The only way to understand those experiences is to deeply listen and believe. Benjamin Matthies, an actor and life coach, started an organization called Urban Confessional, a group of people who believe in listening. They stand on street corners with signs that say, "Free Listening." Matthies started the group because he was worried about the way people close themselves off, not only from ideas that they disagree with, but from people they disagree with. They begin to treat the people like the ideas. Matthies reports that the question he gets asked most is, "How do I listen to someone when I disagree with them?" His answer is to listen to their stories. He says we must work to hear the person, not just the opinion. He says, hear the biography, not the ideology. We must listen to circumstances that resulted in that particular worldview and that particular set of assumptions. We might not end up agreeing or even finding common ground, but we might discover something that transcends that and connects us as people. We might be able to enter the space between us with love. What can we do when we so fundamentally disagree with someone that we cringe? What we can do is ask, "Will you tell me your story? I'd love to know how you came to this point of view." And then we listen deeply. Alain de Botton, one of my favorite modern philosophers, writes of listening, "Here, too, an unusual degree of confidence is the key. A capacity to not be thrown off course by or buckle under the weight of information that might deeply challenge certain settled assumptions. Good listeners are unfussy about the chaos which others may for a time create in their minds." When we listen to those we disagree with, we must set aside ourselves, our assumptions, and our worldview. We must allow ourselves the freedom of chaos. In 2016, as part of his urban confessional project, Benjamin Matthews went to the Republican convention with his free listening sign. He talked to many people and reported it was much more civil and reasonable than he had been expecting. Then a woman came up to him, more deadly serious than the rest, and said, "I don't usually do this, and I know this isn't a hot-button topic anymore, but I think abortion is wrong. It's not a form of birth control, and people who have them should be arrested for murder." Matthews was thrown for a moment. Chaos filled his mind. He thought of the pain and struggle of women he knew who had decided to end their pregnancies. He wanted to battle her story with his stories. But he didn't. He instead said, "Thank you for sharing that. Tell me your story. I'd love to know how you came to that point of view." The woman was startled, but she ended up sharing her own painful story of always wanting to be a mom, but being unable to have children, and how her husband left her when he found out she could not. She finished her painful story with, "So I guess I just get upset when I see people who can get pregnant, who can have kids, whose bodies work, who can be moms, and they just choose not to." She cried, and she hugged Matthews, whose heart was breaking. Sometimes Matthews said of that moment, "There's nothing to disagree with." Matthews and the woman he listened to are never going to agree on whether abortion should be legal or not. He understood her pain, though. He understood why. And he could hold their difference with love. Is this sort of exchange always possible? I don't think so. I doubt it. Some people just can't tell their stories, even to the best listeners. Some people just don't know how or why certain facts seem more credible to them than other facts. But some people do know their stories, and other people can discover their stories when someone just takes the time and gives them the attention to listen to them. Deep listening, it turns out, is not about finding common ground, even though that could happen. Deep listening is about respect and appreciation of another person's experiences. It's about allowing chaos in our minds when that experience is beyond our current understanding. It is about trusting that you can figure out to do with what you hear later. Maybe it will change you. Black people talking about how their white friends don't listen to them and believe them has changed so many white people's perspectives and has made it so that they can listen to them. But in other cases, it might not change you. But while you were listening, in those moments of hearing the story, it doesn't actually matter whether it will change you in the long run or not. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, wrote the great spiritual poet Rumi, "There is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense." That is the promise of deep listening, that it can take you out to the field beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing. When the soul lies down in the grass and the listener and the listened to become people connected by the human experiences of love and pain and joy and belonging. May we listen to each other and all those who need a listening ear. May it be so. Our benediction is by the Reverend Hamilton Holloway. Go now in peace. Deeply regard one another. Truly listen to each other. Speak what each of you must speak. Be ready in any moment to disarm your own heart and always live as if a realm of love has begun. So it be. Blessed be. Amen.